اشهد ان لا اله الا الله اشهد ان لا اله الا الله اشهد ان محمد رسول الله اشهد ان محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة
تعالیٰ کے فضل سے تقریباً 7 سال کے بعد مجھے جماعت احمدیہ جاپان سے براہ راست یہاں آ کر
With the grace of the Almighty Allah, after a period of approximately 7 years, I have been enabled to once again come here and directly address the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat in Japan. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, Just like the other Jamaats in the world, the Ahmadiyya Muslim Community Japan is advancing forward and is making progress. They are amongst the communities who are exceeding in their sincerity and devotion and their financial sacrifices. The members of the Jamaat, however, should always remember that in their hearts the thought should never arise that we are making progress, that there has been some increase in our numbers. Our financial sacrifices are also large, that we have now acquired a new site, and this will be sufficient for our needs for many years to come. That we have purchased this new place for the reason that in addition to our worship, it will also enable us to carry out other functions. The details of this new center that you have purchased, I will present later on. Here, however, I would like to state that this new large place that you have purchased that will be sufficient for you to offer your prayers. And in accordance with the current number of the community here, it will be sufficient to hold your jalsa, your annual conventions, for some time. It will also provide you space for offices. There is a guest house, a mission house, as well as other facilities. The Ahmadiyya Muslim Community Japan has made great financial sacrifices for this expenditure. They have fulfilled the right of financial contributions. Always remember, however, that the true right of this is fulfilled when we understand those aspects and act upon them which the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, on whom be peace, has inculcated us to act upon. After coming into the bayat, the Pledge of Allegiance of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, on whom be peace, we need to understand and make an effort to act upon all those aspects which are necessary for a true Muslim. It may indeed be the case that through temporary passions or short-term zeal, some sacrifices or actions at times become a means of inclining a person towards virtues. If they are performed for the sake of Allah the Almighty, then they become a means of accumulating the blessings and grace of God. However, we who say that we are a part of the bet of the Pledge of Allegiance of the promised Messiah on whom be peace, our purpose will truly be achieved when with a permanent endeavor, when constantly we make an effort to perform our every action to please God. It is when we always keep in view the purpose of the establishment of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat. In one place, the promised Messiah on whom be peace has stated, the excellences and qualities that are found in the Munim Alayhim people, and which is stated in Sirat al-Ladina An'amt, that the path of those on whom thou hast bestowed thy blessings. The attainment of this is the real purpose for every person. Our Jamaat especially should be mindful of this, because Allah the Almighty willed by establishing this Jamaat, this community, to prepare such a community like the one which was prepared by the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that in this last age this Jamaat can stand witness and testify to the truth and the greatness of the Holy Quran and the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thus, this is an immense responsibility that the promised Messiah on whom be peace has entrusted upon us. we have to make efforts to achieve those objectives which the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's community achieved or made efforts to achieve. They made continuous and constant sacrifices of their life, time, and wealth. They constantly fulfilled the rights of Allah the Almighty whilst holding the fear of God. They always had the fear of God in their hearts and supplicated in prayer. They never boasted upon any of their sacrifices. Rather, they would always pray that may Allah the Almighty accept our sacrifices. They raised the standard of their worship. This was in such a manner that they would even keep their nights alive through their worship. In this same way, they never let themselves become unmindful of the remembrance of God the Almighty during the day, despite their worldly business and work. So thus, this is that objective which each and every single one of us must achieve. This is that very objective regarding which Allah the Almighty states in the Holy Quran that if you achieve this objective, you would have achieved the purpose of your creation. For the purpose of the creation of man is to worship God. When we build mosques or when we acquire any site to perform congregational worship, then this very purpose should always be in view. That with a continuous and constant endeavor, we must reach to the heights of the objectives of our creation. The objectives of the world have some limits. They have a specific peak or pinnacle. A person, after achieving that peak, becomes joyous. Or, within this life, that he has achieved its results. However, the purpose of the servitude and the worship of God the Almighty are such that it continuously opens up new doors to acquire nearness to Allah the Almighty. Further, after one's death, the actions of this life are rewarded in the life to come. Allah the Almighty's unlimited, endless mercy and grace enables for continuous and constant progress. A person becomes a recipient of such rewards and bounties which are beyond man's imagination. The companions, may Allah be pleased with them, keeping this point in view, surpass the stages of progress. They were rewarded with Allah the Almighty being pleased with them. So thus the promised Messiah on whom be peace states that I want to see my Jamaat progressing in the same manner through the stages of progress, so that they should achieve the purpose of their creation and can constantly and continuously progress through the stages and can be raised and elevated. And that they can continuously become those who receive the rewards of Allah. The promised Messiah on whom be peace states, there should be such people in my community who stand as testimony to the greatness of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Holy Quran. Will the greatness and grandeur of the Holy Quran, which is the final law-bearing book of Allah the Almighty, be proved only through our testimony and witness? Is the greatness of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is the final prophet of Allah, the most beloved messenger of God, and the Khatamul Anbiya, the seal of the prophets, conditional upon any of our actions or deeds? know what the promised Messiah alayhi salam means from this, that a revolution should be witnessed within our condition. By acting upon the teachings of the Holy Quran and by emulating the example of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. This should be seen in a way that the world come to say that these are the people in whose lives this revolution was caused as a result of the beautiful teachings of the Holy Quran being acted upon and by following the practice of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. They are the people who fulfill the rights of Allah the Almighty, which is fulfilled by attaining the highest standards of worship. They also fulfill the rights of mankind, which is fulfilled in the true sense by demonstrating the highest standard of every single moral. So thus, in accordance with the report that I have been given, it has been mentioned that here, in the new place that you have purchased, the name of which is Masjid Baitul Ahad, which is currently in the stage of construction, a Japanese non-Muslim friend, who is a lawyer, selflessly assisted in all the obstacles that came along the way. The reason why he did so was because observing the fulfillment of the rights of mankind of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat in the different efforts that they made during the tsunami and the earthquake, this held great importance and significance for this non-Muslim Japanese lawyer. He stated that the Jamaat has done great favors upon Japan, and for this reason he stated that he would do this work without any recompense. In any case, if the Jamaat has done anything in this regard, it has not done so with the purpose of carrying out a favor. In fact, the Jamaat has merely fulfilled its obligation, and they should fulfill this duty wherever they see anyone in difficulty anywhere. However, this Japanese person, in any case, demonstrated his high moral values. He appreciated this small service of the community and thus was drawn near to the community. So we must continue with this work of serving mankind, whether it leads to anyone helping us or not. And this is the act of fulfilling the rights of mankind, that when we inform and should inform that this is actually the teaching of the Holy Quran, and this is actually the practice of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is a command upon us that serve mankind. So this will increase the scope of the Jamaat being introduced. More people like this Japanese lawyer would come forth who would appreciate the services of the community. Such people would come forth upon whom the beautiful teachings of Islam would be illuminated, and Islam would be introduced on a greater scale. The greatness of the teachings of Islam would become manifest upon them, and as such, new paths of preaching would open up. This mosque, Baitul Ahad, which as I stated, there are just some requirements from the government that are yet to be fulfilled, after which this will also be given the shape of a mosque. Through this, the Jamaat would be introduced on a greater level. There will be more opportunities to introduce the teachings of the Holy Quran. And as was the desire of the promised Messiah on whom be peace, and this is something which he also mentioned, that these people are being inclined towards Islam. This is for the reason that they are pious by nature. These people appear to be righteous in their nature, and this is why they are being inclined towards Islam. Thus, we should make efforts to introduce Islam to them. And for this, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, says, a book based on introducing Islam should be written in the Japanese language. So work is being carried out on this book. All of these things, and all of this means that all of you, the majority of whom consist of Pakistani and old Ahmadis, would have to cast a glance over your practical condition. Now, more than before, people will look towards you. When you will preach to others and convey the message of Islam to them, then people will look at what the state of your practical condition is. The people here will not look at what sacrifices you have given for the building of this mosque. People instead will look at what your practical condition is. They will observe the condition of your living connection with Allah the Almighty. That by joining you, what revolution can come about within them? From a worldly perspective, the people here are far more advanced than you. Their apparent morals are also of a very high standard. If there is anything new that we can offer them, it is that we can teach them the means of establishing a connection with God. We can tell them that now the only living religion is Islam. We can tell them how the right of the worship of God can be given. We can tell them how Allah the Almighty listens to prayers, and we can tell them how Allah the Almighty speaks to His servants. However, for all of this, we would have to assess ourselves. We would have to strengthen our connection with God. We would have to safeguard and protect our prayers, and we would have to fulfill the due of our worship. We would have to live amongst one another with love and affection, and we would have to attain those highest moral standards, which are even better than the morals of the Japanese people. As I stated, that these people possess a great deal of apparent morals. They also possess human sympathy and compassion. They are also acting upon the Islamic teaching of responding in kind when someone acts good towards you. This is why the promised Messiah on whom may peace had stated that the inclination of the people here towards Islam is as a result of their pious nature and this good fortune. This is why it is extremely necessary and important for us to make these people aware of the true and pristine teachings of Islam. Therefore, we must derive maximum benefit from this pious nature and morals which is found within these people. To this end, we would have to show these people the beauty of Islam. We would have to display to them a practical example of man having a connection with God. For this purpose, every single Ahmadi living here would have to keep the teachings of the Holy Quran and the practice of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam at all times in view. So thus, make an effort to understand this point. For this, The guidance that the promised Messiah alayhi salam has given us, go on repeating and reminding yourselves of it. I shall present some of these before you. The first point that we need to keep in view at all times is that Allah the Almighty will hold us to account regarding our pledges. Allah the Almighty will question us regarding the promises that you have made. In this era, we have made the Pledge of Allegiance, the Bayt, of the promised Messiah alayhi salam. It is not enough that we just do the Bayt, the Pledge of Allegiance, and that we have become Ahmadis. It is not sufficient that the old Ahmadis merely rejuvenate and re-pledge their allegiance at the hands of the Khalifa and consider that that alone is enough. The Pledge of Allegiance makes a demand. The promised Messiah alayhi salam has outlined this in the shape of the 10 conditions of Bayt. If we were to outline the 10 conditions of Bayt in a nutshell, it is that in every single condition, we will give precedence to our faith over worldly matters. That we will continuously make efforts to give preference to our faith over the world. In one place, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam says, "You see that I take in the bed the pledge that one will give precedence to the faith over worldly matters. This is so that I can observe to what extent does the initiate act upon this." The promised Messiah on whom the peace continues. In any worldly task or endeavor, you make great efforts, and only then do you ultimately gain success. However, there is not that same pain to make efforts towards a religion. That same endeavor is not present, through which Allah the Almighty is always in view. Or that one is trying to perform his actions in accordance with the commands of Allah the Almighty. The promised Messiah alayhi salam states that I remain in agony that there should be a pious reformation within the Jamaat. The vision that I have in my heart of the change that should be brought about in the community has not yet been produced. Observing this condition, my state is the same. As لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِئُ النَّفْسَكَ أَلَّا يَكُونُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ. That happily thou wilt grieve thyself to death because they believe not. The promised Messiah alayhi salam says, I do not wish that a few words are uttered in parrot-like fashion at the time of pledging allegiance. This is worthless. Acquire the knowledge of purifying the self, because this is what is needed. That how can one purify oneself? You should strive to find this out. Mentioning the real purpose after coming into the Pledge of Allegiance, the promised Messiah on whom be peace states, produce a pious change within you and become as if a completely new person. For this reason, it is necessary for each and every one amongst you to understand this secret and bring about such change within that you can say that I am someone different. I am not the same person as before. So therefore, this is the pain that we need to realize. These words of the promised Messiah alayhi salam were said by him for those people who were benefiting from being in his company. If the standard of those who were in the company of the promised Messiah alayhi salam was not in accordance with his wishes, and there were shortcomings in it, then in our time, these shortcomings have increased manifold. To eliminate these shortcomings, we would have to make efforts many times greater. It is only then that we can be those who can remove that pain and agony of the promised Messiah on whom be peace. Now, where the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, has stated that I might grieve myself to death observing the condition of others, that why do they not become mu'mins? Now, this indeed may apply to others, that why do they not come to possess faith? But here, the promised Messiah is also concerned for his own people. He is worried that why do they not obtain that status and standard which is necessary for a mu'min, for a believer. The Holy Quran has said with regards to such people who believe that, do say that we have come to believe in Islam and we have submitted. We have entered into the system of the community, of the Jamaat, that we have come to accept that the Holy Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is a Khatamun Nabiyin, the seal of the prophets. That we accept that the promised Messiah and Imam Mahdi, who is destined to come and who has prophesied to arrive by the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, has indeed come, and that we have taken his birth and have initiated into his community. But your faith is not yet complete. There are many conditions for faith which are necessary to fulfill. For example, a mu'min, a believer, loves Allah most of all. Loving Allah entails that all worldly things and relationships should be given no importance as opposed to God the Almighty. It is to act upon the commandments of Allah the Supreme. In the Holy Quran, Allah the Almighty in numerous places has, alongside belief, placed the condition of amali salihah, performing righteous deeds. That is, one should perform virtuous deeds which should be appropriate to the occasion, and they should be performed keeping in view the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. Amongst the commands that Allah the Almighty has given to the mu'mins, to the believers, one is to fulfill the rite of worship, which is extremely important. Alongside this, Allah the Almighty has stated, a mu'min is he who brings about reconciliation and reformation amongst people. To acquire the pleasure of Allah the Almighty, they strive to bring about peace and reconciliation, and do not create disorder and corruption. Their opinions and suggestions are for the sake of bettering the world rather than causing anyone harm. Mu'mins are those great people who enjoin virtues and stop others from performing vices. Mu'mins are they who fulfill the rights of their trusts. They abide by their pledges. They remain established and steadfast upon truthfulness. The mu'mins remain so bound by Qawli Sadeed, saying the straightforward word, that nothing crooked or untoward is said by them. Even if they have to give testimony against their own people, they do so. The mu'mins are immersed with the sentiments of sacrifice for one another. The companions displayed such an example of passionately sacrificing for one another that their wealth, their property, and their possessions, in short, they were prepared to sacrifice everything for one another. Another sign of a mu'min is that they always think well of others. They do not always think ill of other people. They do not believe hearsay and fill their hearts with grudges, spite, and rancor. If 100% of the members of the Jamaat here act upon just this one point, then the speed of progress here can increase manifold. The mu'mins act kindly and good towards their wives. This is also a commandment of Allah. If each and every single one here who has married Japanese women acts kindly and good towards their wives in accordance with the teachings of Islam, then this would be a means of preaching amongst their in-laws. Further, Mormons are they who forgive each other's faults and mistakes. They overlook each other's errors. Mormons are those who display humbleness and humility. The Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, has depicted this in one of his couplets of poetry, that assume yourselves as worse and lower than others, that perhaps through this you will be accepted into heaven by God the Almighty. That if you display humility and consider yourselves lesser than all others, it is only then that you can obtain the love of God. So if you desire nearness to God, then humility is the condition. God the Almighty is displeased by arrogance. Office holders should display humbleness and humility within their circles, and also the members of the Jamaat should display modesty and humbleness. Be those who suppress anger, for this is also a sign of a Mu'min. Fulfill your pledges, as I have already mentioned before. Allah the Almighty will question you regarding your pledges. We in this era have made the Pledge of Allegiance, the Bayt. We need to act upon this, we need to understand this, we need to fulfill this, and we need to abide by it. This will only happen when we perform every single virtue. It is only when we lead our lives in accordance with the commands of Allah. It is only when we tread in accordance with the purpose of the Jamaat, as explained by the Promised Messiah, on whom be peace. So at this time, I could not mention these commandments in detail, because there are so many. Each and every single person should take his own assessment. Is he leading his life in accordance with the teachings of the Holy Quran? Is he fulfilling the desire of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam after coming into his bed? Is his every action for the sake of pleasing God? I recited a couplet of poetry of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, that assume yourselves as worse and lower than others. If we inculcate this condition in each and every single one of us, only then will we learn to forgive others. We will avoid thinking ill of others. And we will also become beneficial individuals for the progress of the Jamaat. So thus, each and every single person needs to understand the pain and concern of the Promised Messiah, on whom be peace. These are the aspects which become the means of the purification of oneself. Cultivate mutual love, affection, and brotherhood. Instead of picking out the faults and shortcomings of others, look for each other's virtues and good qualities. In one place, the Promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states, each and every single person should remove the mutual conflicts, enmities, because now is the time when you shun these trivial matters and instead become engaged in great and magnificent works. The Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states, remember, if you dedicate yourself in the work of God and you work hard to support the religion of Allah, then Allah the Almighty will remove all obstacles and you will be successful. The great and highest work that he has drawn attention towards, that make efforts towards the religion of Allah the Almighty. The efforts that we should make for success at the present time is that we should strive to fulfill the purpose of the advent of the Promised Messiah, on whom be peace. The objective of the coming of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam was to bring mankind close to Allah the Almighty and to bring about a living connection between God and man. His other objective was to draw attention towards the rights and fulfilling the rights that mankind have upon one another and to discharge responsibilities of this. All of this can then be achieved when we make efforts to become complete mu'mins, so that we can convey the beautiful teachings of Islam everywhere. So thus, I say once again that each and every single one of you must assess himself. The Jamaat in Japan is a very small community. If there are only just a handful who do not practice what they preach, then this has an impact upon each and every other member of the Jamaat. This particularly has an effect upon the youth and the children of the community in a manner that they can become distant from the religion. Those Japanese who are close to Ahmadiyyat also seeing such things will become far removed. The Japanese men or women who are married to Ahmadi men and women and have come close to Ahmadi thereafter, they will also become distant as a result of this. So therefore, this is a matter of grave concern. The first responsibility towards this is of the president, the sadr of the Jamaat, and the missionary in charge, that they should play the role of a father. They should make constant efforts to bring about pious reformation within. In terms of his office and in terms of his knowledge, the greatest responsibility is his. He will be questioned with regards to this. If a person is devoid of knowledge or has less knowledge, it is a different matter. However, when he knows everything yet does not act upon it, then such a person is held to account to a greater degree. Each and every single member of the Jamaat should also assess himself. Every office holder needs to also assess himself. Is he fulfilling the rights of his office? Is it perhaps the case that as a result of not fulfilling this right, he is causing anxiety and restlessness within the members of the Jamaat? The office holders of the auxiliary organizations also need to assess themselves. Each and every one will be questioned with regards to his pledges and to his trusts, that to what degree were they fulfilled. In the meetings and in the gatherings and in the jalsas, the programs should be held in Japanese. I have received some complaints with regards to this. The few Japanese cannot even understand what is happening in the meetings. The men and women who are not all that well acquainted with the Japanese language, arrangements for Urdu translation should be made for them. It should not be the case that the programs are in Urdu and the translation in Japanese. It should be the opposite here. All meetings and gatherings should be in Japanese and the translation should be in Urdu. The Japanese Ahmadis should be made a maximum part and involved within your programs. Make them deliver speeches, explain to them the system of the Jamaat, and also obtain other services from them. As I stated, inshallah, you will now have a new mosque built. New paths of preaching will open up through it. Each and every Ahmadi needs to stand upon this path as a guardian. This is so that whoever comes to walk upon this path, whichever people search for it, there every old Ahmadi who possesses knowledge regarding Ahmadiyyat is present there to guide them. As I have stated before, this cannot be achieved unless each and every single person establishes a connection with God. Until every single person fulfills the rite of the worship of that one God on whose name this mosque is being built. Until every single person comes to possess knowledge of the God who has no relations with anyone. For him, he is honorable who treads on the path of righteousness, who fulfills the rite of worship, and who performs amali saliha, righteous deeds. He who guides mankind and strives to make them submit to God the Almighty. They live amongst each other in such a manner that they become the embodiment of Rahuma Obeinuhum, being compassionate and sympathetic to one another. Thus, every Ahmadi must remember that this is not only the responsibility of the office holders. In fact, every Ahmadi man, woman, young and child has this responsibility that they should not only be engaged in picking out the faults of the office holders, rather, they should assess their own selves, and they should form a relationship and bond with Allah the Almighty. By establishing a connection with the gracious God, they should become the servants of the gracious God. Prepare yourselves to fulfill the rite of this mosque, which very soon, inshallah, you will acquire. Try to make your sacrifices worthy of acceptance by God, which can only be achieved by acting upon the commands of Allah the Almighty and through the grace and blessings of God the Almighty alone, and not through anyone's own efforts. There is a need for prayers also, a need to supplicate for the grace of God, and there is also a need to act humbly and with humility. As I stated, I shall present some details with regards to the mosque. In 1981, it was a mission house that was purchased before. There is no need to go into details of that. It was a small house. In any case, the area of Masjid Baitul Ahad is approximately 3,000 square meters. 60% of this is covered. There is a prayer hall in which 500 worshippers can offer their prayers. There is accommodation facilities. And in approximately $800,000, including the expenditure, this was the total cost. When your attention was drawn towards purchasing a markaz, a center, as I stated before, the Jamaat here in Japan made financial sacrifices, and with the grace of the Almighty Allah, they purchased this site. It is a very small community, but with the grace of the Almighty Allah, in this sense, many people have made immense sacrifices. People have contributed very large amounts. Children gave their pocket money, and women contributed with their jewelry. Some sold their houses in Pakistan and then contributed money, or others sold some property. Some donated their valuable jewelry, some of whom had obtained it from their inheritance of their elders, and donated it towards the mosque. In short, in financial sacrifices, with the grace of the Almighty Allah, all of you made efforts to excel one another, and you presented your donations. May Allah the Almighty accept all these financial sacrifices, and may He bless your persons and your properties and wealth immensely. As I stated, the registration of the mosque is in its final stages. If it was done before, then perhaps the Friday prayers would be done from there. But inshallah, it is hoped that this will rapidly be obtained. I mentioned a Japanese lawyer. It has been said that if he had taken fees, the fees would be at least $20,000. So this is an act of great kindness. May Allah the Almighty reward him for this. This effort that you have made for the mosque in just a few months, it has become evident from these details that this site of the mosque that you have acquired, extraordinarily, one, there are the sacrifices that you made that are there. The history of acquiring this is also that with the grace of the Almighty Allah, without any thought in this way, Allah the Almighty helped and assisted, and suddenly the provisions for this were made. This is also the grace and blessings of Allah. More than your efforts, this is the fruits of the blessings and grace of Allah the Almighty that you have received this. That you have acquired such a large place. In my view, this is such a place where a few months ago, many of you would not have even imagined that such a site could be acquired. So thus, this point should make us submit further towards Allah the Almighty. However, alongside this, I should also state that this grace of Allah the Almighty, which today falls upon the Jamaat Ahmadiyya everywhere in the world, this is also the answer from Allah the Almighty of those vociferous claims of the enemies. It is a practical testimony of Allah the Almighty's grace, blessings and support for the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat, as opposed to those claims that the detractors made in the second Khilafat of Ahmadiyyat, that they would raise Qadian to the ground. They said that, God forbid, they would eliminate Ahmadiyyat altogether. At the time, Hazrat Musleh Maud laid the foundation for Tahreek-e-Jadeed. Hazrat Musleh Maud stated that the answer to the detractors would be through preaching and by spreading all across the world. Subsequently, the members of the Jamaat at the time also gave financial sacrifices. Ahmadiyyat, that is a true Islam, started spreading its message all across the world. Missionaries went abroad and mosques were built. Other work of serving humanity also began. Schools and hospitals were established. Those people who said they would raise Qadian to the ground, we do not even know if a trace of them remains. Whereas the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat is now present in more than 200 countries of the world. Each year we build mosques, and hundreds of thousands of people are entering Islam through Ahmadiyyat. This year, with the grace of the Almighty Allah in the form of a mosque, Allah the Almighty has also granted you the Jamaat Ahmadiyya Japan with a reward and gift. They did not apparently seem any possibility of receiving this so quickly. So thus, we should continuously submit ourselves towards Allah the Almighty because of this. As I stated, fulfilling the true right of this is to bring about such pious reformation within you which is acceptable by Allah the Almighty. May Allah the Almighty enable us to achieve this. With reference to Tahreek-e-Jadeed, we should relate the blessings of Allah the Almighty that are occurring. Another thought or the demonstration and mention of this, of how it is necessary to repeat and relate the blessings and grace of Allah the Almighty, that by chance, this year of Tahreek-e-Jadeed is beginning during my tour. Or it can be said, in other words, that my tour, which is a tour of Australia and the Far East, in it, the last year of Tahreek-e-Jadeed ended. in which we witness countless instances of the blessings and grace of God. During this tour as well, we witness this, which most certainly is not a result of our efforts. The details of this, inshallah, I will relate at some other time. At this time, as I stated, as the Tehreek-e-Jadidiyya ended, I thought that I should announce the start of the new year of Tehreek-e-Jadid during this tour from Japan. So, at this time, I shall present some brief details which I customarily relate. I announce the new year of Tehreek-e-Jadid, which will be the 80th year starting. According to these figures, in the reports that have been sent, there are many reports that have not yet been sent. In accordance to the reports, Jamaat was unable to contribute £7,869,100. This is an increase of approximately £650,000 from the previous year. The reason for this is that although the increase might be more, but because there has been a lot of increase in the local currency, but compared to the pound, their currencies have decreased. As a result of this appears to be less. However, in terms of the countries individually, there have been huge increases. Pakistan's position is established and is maintained as always. After this, in terms of the positions, Germany is at first. It is actually at second, but in terms of the countries outside of Pakistan, Germany is first, then the USA, then Britain, then Canada, then India, Indonesia, Australia, then there are two Arab countries, there is Ghana, then Switzerland. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, Germany has made a huge leap. In Tehreek-e-Jadid, they have made an increase of over €350,000. Germany has donated approximately £182,000 more than the USA. The USA has given £75,000 more than the United Kingdom, and the United Kingdom has given £400,000 more than Canada. And then there are the details as I have relayed. Whenever there is an increase in the contributions from Germany, the concerned words of the Emir Sahib and Amla come before me. When I placed a restriction that those Ahmadis who are working in any such place where there are forbidden things being sold, for example, alcohol being sold or pork being traded, that Jannah should not be taken from Ahmadis working in such places. So they will be concerned that this would cause a shortfall in the Jannah. In the first year where they expressed this concern, their Jannah has now increased by some hundreds of thousands, and there was no shortcoming. This year, once again, in just Tehreek-e-Jadid, they have increased their contributions by over €350,000. May Allah the Almighty bless their persons and their wealth. In terms of contribution per capita, USA is first, and there is Switzerland, Australia, Japan. Japan is fourth in terms of per capita contribution, at least it has come somewhere. Then there is Britain, Germany, Norway, France, Belgium, and Canada. In terms of the increase based on local currency, the most increases were in Ghana, Germany, Australia, then Pakistan, Britain, Canada, India, and the United States. This year, I said more attention should be given to increasing the number of contributors and participants. So there has been an increase of 225,000 of new contributors. Now, with the grace of the Almighty Allah, the total numbers have exceeded 111,3400. Amongst the African countries, in terms of total collections, Ghana is at first. Ghana is foremost, then Nigeria, then Mauritius, Burkina Faso, Tanzania, Gambia, Benin, Kenya, Sierra Leone, and Uganda. The most efforts to increase contributors was in Sierra Leone. Then there is Mali, Burkina Faso, Gambia, Benin, Senegal, Liberia, Uganda, and Tanzania. The numbers of the Daftar Awwal Mujahideen, 1,261 are alive, and the remaining chandas are still continuing. In the Tariq-e-Jadid financial contributions, the three large amounts of Pakistan, first is Lahore, second is Rabwa, and third is Karachi. Then the 10 other big jamaats is Islamabad, Rawalpindi, Multan, Quetta, Sheikhupura, Peshawar, Hyderabad, Bagalnagar, Okara, and Nawabshah. In terms of the districts in Pakistan giving sacrifices, Sialkot, Sargodha, Umarkot 18, Gujranwala, Gujarat, Bedin, Narawal, Sangar, Namkana, and Rahim Yar Khan and Tobatak Singh are equal. The Jamaats in Germany, in terms of total collection, Neuss is first, then there is Rodemark, Cologne, Heidelberg, Koblenz, Dreyesch, Mahdiabad, Wiengarten, Nuremberg, and Nidda. In terms of collection, in the local Jamaats in Germany, there is Hamburg, Frankfurt, Grasgarau, Wiesbaden, Morfilden, Waldorf, Muffenburg, Mannheim, Reichstag, and Ditzenbach. The Jamaats in the United States in terms of collections are, there is Los Angeles Inland Empire, Silicon Valley, Detroit, Harrisburg, Los Angeles East, Columbus, Seattle, Los Angeles West, Silver Spring, and Phoenix. The 10 large Jamaats in the United Kingdom, there is Masjid Fazl, West Hill, New Malden, Worcester Park, Rains Park, Birmingham Central, Mosque West, Beit al-Futuh, Thornton Heath, and Cheam. In terms of total collections, the top five regions are London, North East, Midlands, South, and Middlesex. The Jamaats in Canada are Peace Village, Calgary, Vaughan, Vancouver, Edmonton, Durham, Ottawa, Saskatoon, and Lloydminster. The 10 Jamaats in India are Kerala, Kerala, Calicut, Kerala, Hyderabad, Andhra Pradesh, Kananuktown, Kerala, Bengali, Kerala, Gadian, Punjab, Calcutta, Bengal, Yadgir, Karnataka, Chennai, Tamil Nadu, and Mathur Town, Kerala. The Jamaats of Kerala, mashallah, are very active. The top 10 states in India are Kerala, Andhra Pradesh, Jammu and Kashmir, Karnataka, Bengal, Orissa, Punjab, UP, Maharashtra, and Delhi. This year also, with the grace of the Almighty Allah, from Africa and India and other places, there are incidents of extraordinary sacrifices that have come in. There is not sufficient time to relay them all. In any case, inshallah, they will be relayed at some other point. The Jamaat of Kababir, when they learned that the announcement of Tariq-e-Jadid will be made in Japan, then, as opposed to the previous year, they increased their sacrifices. Kababir is the largest community amongst the Arab countries. They have given contributions of £20,000 and therefore have doubled it from the previous year. May Allah the Almighty, to those who are sacrificing in any way and those who also participated in Tariq-e-Jadeed, may He infuse immense blessings in their persons and in their wealth. May He continuously increase them in their faith and conviction. And may these sacrifices be purely for the sake of Allah, and may Allah the Almighty continuously accept them.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله